Jeremiah chapter number 33 and verse number 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I need your help to preach this message, Lord. And I ask, dear God, that you'd energize not just the ears of the listeners, but the hearts of the listeners this morning. And Lord, you've been burdening my heart for several weeks about this message. And Lord, I know that I've got a green light now. I know that the timing's right. I know that this is the morning. This is the hour. Lord, I have no clue and can't know all of the things that are going on in each individual life. But Lord, I believe that we're here on purpose. And this message is, Lord, laying before me on this pulpit. And these verses were read specifically for those in the room today, and I pray, Lord, that you, Lord, who orchestrate all things, will speak very directly to the hearts of each and every listener. Use the message, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I got a praise report that was handed to me, and I want to share it with you now. Aren't you glad that we have an opportunity at our church to pass in prayer requests? And all you've got to do is go back there and fill out a little form at the back information desk, and it'll be brought by the ushers to me. You can do this Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and then it's read from the pulpit, and it allows people to know how to pray one for another. Not only is it read from the pulpit, we have special prayer right in the service for these things, but these same prayer requests then are now texted or emailed to every member of our church that has requested that they be given to them, and allows them to take those same requests and pray all week long over these things. Folks, let me remind you, we have not because we ask not. I think we are inundated with a generation of Christians that are great complainers but lousy prayer warriors. And we seem to feel very free to lodge accusations against God but don't seem to spend much time on our knees in supplication with God and to God. And I hope that God will stir something in your heart. I believe that this may be for one person in the room, two people in the room, a handful of people in the room. And I think if we'd allow it to be, it could be for everybody in the room. But I don't know why God's timed this message and held the preaching of this message back to this hour, but I know that he told me to preach this morning. Dare to pray a great big prayer. Dare to pray a great big prayer. I love these three verses for a preacher. These are the ideal verses that you like to find because three verses present a very clear three-point outline. Preachers read the Bible, mostly like other people do, but we also read the Bible looking for outlines and looking for sermons. Notice number one, the condition of Jeremiah in verse number one. Jeremiah was where? Well, when did the word of the Lord come unto him? While he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. So the condition of Jeremiah before God commands him and encourages him in verse number 3 to call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. This word came while he was confined to the prison. Here Jeremiah was confined. He was constricted. He was retained. He was restricted. He was impoverished and he was imprisoned. And in that condition, God comes along and says, call unto me. And I will answer thee. We see in verse 1 the condition of Jeremiah. Number 2, we see the resume of Jehovah God. How about that in verse number 2? When he says in verse number 3, call unto me, he wants to make sure you know who he is. So he reminds Jeremiah of some things. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. So here's the short resume that Jehovah presents to Jeremiah before he gives this command, this encouragement to pray. He says, I'm the creator of all things, Jeremiah. I'm the conceiver of all things, the mastermind behind everything. I'm the controller of all things. And that word Lord there, when he says the Lord is his name, is the word Jehovah. I am the eternal and self-existent one. Okay, Jeremiah, I know you're imprisoned. And I know that you're constricted. And I know that you're confined. And I know that you are restricted and retained and impoverished and imprisoned. But let me tell you about me. I'm the creator of all things. I'm the conceiver of all things. I'm the controller of all things. And I am eternal and I am the self-existent one. Now, listen to what I have to say. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. This is what we see as the third point. The condition of Jeremiah, the resume of Jehovah God, the invitation from God to Jeremiah. This is what he was saying in these three verses. You may be helpless to change your circumstances, but I am not helpless. I, God says, am not confined. I'm not constricted. I'm not retained. I'm not restricted. I'm not impoverished, and I'm not imprisoned. I'm the creator, the conceiver, the controller. I'm the eternal and self-existent one. Now, call unto me. And I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Can I maybe summarize it in just one sentence, what he said here? Jeremiah, why don't you pray a prayer as big as I am? Why don't you pray a prayer as big as I am? Here's the question I want you to ponder this morning. When's the last time you prayed a great big prayer? You prayed a great big prayer. I want to just give you some things that I hope will encourage you, and I think the Lord's going to speak to you if you'll listen, because I believe everybody in here, there's something you ought to be praying about, something you've been pondering, something you've been needing, and you know what? Sometimes I'm afraid that we just have been convinced by the devil that either God's not interested or God's not capable of answering our prayer, and yet God has pinned down for us this command, call unto me. This encouragement, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now let me give you some things to ponder this morning. Number one, we serve a great big God. We serve a great big God. Say, preacher, where does that found in the scripture? Psalms 57, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Psalms 47, 2, for the Lord is most high is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. Psalm 74, 13, thy way, O Lord, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Psalms 95, 3, for the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. Psalm 96, 4, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all the gods. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Psalms 145, 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Psalms 147, 5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. I'm going to ask you to turn to Psalms 48. Turn over there real quick, Psalms 48. You know what the book of Psalms is? The book of Psalms is a song book. And every once in a while around here, I encourage Brother Young to do it in our school, as I like the young people learning scripture songs. How about Psalms 48? Let's look at that. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole world is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Let's sing it together. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Boy, isn't that powerful. Well, I want to remind you, folks, listen to me. The problem isn't that we don't have a great God. Say, preacher, I don't know about praying a great big prayer. Why wouldn't you bring a great big prayer to a great big God? I mean, isn't that something? Preacher, you don't understand, though, the situation I'm faced. I've kind of messed up, and I'm not like Jeremiah, and some of the circumstances that's imprisoned me are of my own making. Well, I've got good news for you. Listen, why don't you just go tell that to the Lord? Just be honest with him. I've got great news for you. Our great God is a God known for his great goodness and his great mercy. Where do you find that? Glad you asked. Psalms 57, verse number 9. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens and thy truth unto the clouds. Psalms 86, verse 12. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forever. Evermore, for great is thy mercy towards me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Psalms 31:19. Oh, how great is thy goodness. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Psalms 57, verse 9, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Folks, listen to me. I mean, I could read. How much time will you want to have this morning? Psalms 117. Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people, for his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. I'm going to let you catch up. Go to Psalms 103. Go there because I want you to see this. Some of you need to mark this portion of Scripture. You need to go back over it. You need to study it and read it before you go to prayer every single day this week with your great big prayer request. It wouldn't hurt for you to read before you do that out loud to the Lord. Psalms 103. Look at verse number 8. Psalms 103, verse number 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And by the way, you ought to be thankful for that. Everybody here ought to be thankful for that. As tough as God is sometimes on his children, let me tell you this. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He is a good God and a merciful God. I'm not saying that there aren't some built-in consequences that come along with sin, but you ought to be glad for the mercy and grace of God, because if he allows you to have to pay the full measure of it, in your life, you think your life's tough now, your life would be miserable. Notice verse number 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, are you thinking about this? So great is his mercy towards them that fear him, as far as the east is from the west. So far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I was listening to a message this week, and a guy said, you know what? The earth is round. And he said, you know what? If you go north far enough, eventually you'll be going south. If you go south far enough, eventually you'll be going north. But you know what? If you take off and go east, you'll go east and east and east and east and east and east and east. You never switch over to where you meet west. If you decide to go west, you go west and west and west and west. That's why he didn't say as far as the north is from the south. He says as far as the east is from the west. How about that? How about that? Now, folks, what I'm saying is this. Sometimes I think that we just feel like we've messed up so much, and we've created some of our own circumstances, and God's not got great mercy, and so he wouldn't be willing to listen to me. Folks, listen to me. I could take you to the Bible and show you where God prayed and or answered the prayers of some of the biggest rascals in the Bible when they got serious and did business with him. God's not the problem. God's not the problem. But you don't understand, preacher. I've looked at my situation every which way. And I mean, I've turned it over in my mind over and over again. And my situation, preacher, I'm sorry, but my situation is impossible. Let me remind you of something. I say often, as long as there's a God, there's hope. As long as there's a God, there's hope. Impossible? What a word. Impossible? Too hard? No way God can answer. No way God can do. I'm sorry, but you must not know the same God I do, because the God of the Bible, the creator of the universe, the great I am, the redeemer of my soul, the one who allows me to call him Abba Father. Let me remind you of something your Bible teaches you. Nothing is too hard for God. Genesis chapter 18, we had a laughing woman, 90 years old, laughing, and a 100-year-old man, because God told them that they were going to have a baby. And you know what the Lord said to them is, anything too hard for the Lord at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of my of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied and said, I laughed not, for she was afraid. But he said, the Lord, nay, but thou didst laugh. You know, if you laugh, God heard you laugh. Amen. Jeremiah was encouraged with these words. In Jeremiah 32, he says, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there's nothing too hard for thee, nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name, great in counsel, mighty in work. For thine eyes are open unto all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Listen to me, if you're going to live in sin, and you're going to reject God, and you're going to continue in your iniquity, then you know what? Yes, not only will you pay for that attitude, but your children will pay for that attitude. But aren't you glad that any one of us can turn to God and get sincere and get real and come before God and find out that his mercy endureth forever? Jeremiah 32, verse 26, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Too hard for me. Jesus had a discussion with the disciples about rich men and their possibility of getting into the kingdom of God. He says, And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. When the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then shall be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You say, what are you doing, preacher? I'm not preaching. I'm a lawyer representing the Lord and trying to get you to be convinced of one thing, that God has never met a challenge that he's not able to rise up to. He's never heard a prayer that he cannot answer. You know what? Our problem isn't that we aren't getting our great big prayers answered. Our problem is we are afraid to take great big prayers to a great big God. But I'm going to show you in a minute that God wants to hear those, and he encourages it, and he's listening for somebody that dares to come before the throne of grace and ask something that's impossible. It's impossible. I know that we can't compare God to men, but I've noticed something about teenage boys. They like a challenge. They like a challenge. And you know what? If you ask them to do something little, they kind of look at you and roll their eyes and almost refuse to do it. If I, you know, brought one of these guys up here and said, okay, listen, I want you to really exert yourself. I want you to prove to everybody how powerful you are, what a man you are. Please do one jumping jack. They would look at me like, seriously? Well, you know, we're kind of created in the image of God. You know what? I'm going to show you this in a minute, but our great big God loves to answer great big prayers. I mean, he's got a track record in the Bible for doing the most amazing things. And we bring him little piddly stuff and don't even have enough faith to believe that he can do that. And I think sometimes God listens to our prayers and says, really? Why don't somebody bring me a challenge? Why don't somebody bring me something that's hard? Why don't somebody pray for something that's impossible? Why is everybody giving up? Why are the prayers so general? When's the last time you prayed for something specific, something big, something great? Something humanly impossible. I think God's just looking for that opportunity. Let me just kind of go over the track record of God here. One of the great benefits of reading the Bible through every year is that you're reminded on a daily basis that God has an amazing track record when it comes to answering great big prayers. I'm only going to give you one per book. Genesis, Abraham prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord made him a daddy at 100 years of age, and Sarah a mommy at 90 years of age. Hey, laugh about that, Sarah. In Exodus, the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, and God raised up Moses and delivered the children of Israel from the cruel hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. In Leviticus, God allowed a high priest, a man, a human man, a sinner, to come into the Holy of Holies with a blood sacrifice and a humble prayer, and the sins of a nation were absolved. In Numbers, Moses faced a rebellion by Korah and his followers by falling on his face and praying to God, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the rebels and their families and all that they possessed. In Deuteronomy, God answered the last prayer of Moses, took him to the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, and allowed him a glimpse into the promised land, then took him on to glory, buried his body himself, only funeral God ever conducted. Joshua, a new leader, walks the hills overlooking Jericho, falls at the feet of the unseen captain, and his prayer is heard. And 7 days later, the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. Judges, a man, in the book of Judges, a man named Gideon prays to God while threshing wheat in secret, and the Lord takes the least man in Israel, adds 300 to him, and defeats a great horde of Midianites and Amalekites. And this is what the Bible says, so great in number, the Bible says that they lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sands by the seaside for the multitude. Yet Gideon and 300 and prayer and God won the battle. What do you think about that? Ruth prayed a prayer, and her prayer turned a Moabite widow into the great-grandmother of King David. In a prayer in 1 Samuel, prayer gave a barren woman by the name of Hammon a prophet's son. It also, in that same book, guided a rock into the forehead of a giant and took a shepherd boy and made him a king. In 2 Samuel, prayer brought down the glory of God and filled Solomon's newly built temple. Why don't we know these things? In 1 Kings, we know them, don't we? In 1 Kings, a 63-word prayer brought down fire from heaven and consumed a sacrifice, saturated in water, defeated a king and his 850 false prophets. What happened? Prayer happened. 2 Kings, a newly mantled prophet cried, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Then he smote the Jordan River, and the Bible says it, I love this, it parted hither and thither. I love the Bible. I love the Bible. Don't change the King James Bible. In 1 Chronicles, David pays, then prays, and a plague is stopped. In 2 Chronicles, a king named Hezekiah is given a death notice, but he turns his face to the wall and prays, and his death is postponed for 15 years. In Ezra, prayer and persistence builds the temple, and in Nehemiah, prayer defeats God's enemies and builds a wall. In Esther, prayer and fasting and the courage of a Jewish queen saves God's people from annihilation. In Job, the Bible says God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. In Psalms, prayers fill Israel's songbook. And in Proverbs, we're told that the prayers of the upright are the Lord's delight. Ecclesiastes is filled with prayers of regret, while Song of Solomon is filled with prayers of first love. Isaiah found himself on his knees crying out, "Woe is me," when he saw a vision of the holiness of God. He saw that during his time of prayer. Jeremiah prayed from a miry pit, and God heard and delivered his prophet. In Lamentations, Jeremiah is weeping out his tears until God reminds him that the Lord's compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Then Jeremiah cries out, "Great is thy faithfulness." Ezekiel was taken to a valley full of dry bones and heard God ask, "Can these bones live?" And I love Ezekiel's answer. "Thou knowest, O Lord." Then Ezekiel found out what God knows. He watched God answer, and he watched a living, mighty army of living people walk out and march out of that valley. You know why? Because somebody was willing to pray. Daniel prayed his way into a lion's den, then prayed his way back out of a lion's den. Jonah prayed from the belly of a whale, and God heard him and gave him a second chance. I think he'd give you a second chance too if you just pray. Micah prayed and saw God in his holy temple. Nahum stood in the presence of God, then proclaimed, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust him." Habakkuk and Zephaniah and Haggai, Zechariah received prophetic words, which we still read today, received each word while standing in the presence of the Lord. Malachi dared God's people to prove God. "Prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it." I promise you, folks, for every prayer I mention, there's scores of other Bible examples of God answering great big prayers for those who dared to pray them. Folks, let me say this again. God is a great big God, and he's constantly looking for an opportunity to add to his track record of being a God that answers great big prayers. Let me have you go to 2 Chronicles chapter number 16. I want you again to mark this. Some of you ought to mark this. You ought to read it every day this week and read it till you believe it. 2 Chronicles chapter number 16. It's not 2 Corinthians. That's in the New Testament. 2 Chronicles is in the Old Testament, chapter 16. And if you will, look at verse number 7. 2 Chronicles chapter number 16 and verse number 7. Now the king Asa is about to get rebuked. And at the time of Hananiah, the seer, that's a prophet, he came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand." Now wait a minute. Asa is about to be reminded that earlier he faced the enemies of God, and he went to God for help. In this particular situation, he faces the enemies of Syria, and he decides that he's going to cut a deal and sign a treaty and make a truce, and he didn't go to the same God that he relied on the first time. Look at verse number 8. "Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand." Watch this. I want you to get this, folks. This is still true today. I believe it. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Remember the days when you just believed God? Remember the days when your first reaction to an attack of the devil wasn't to try to make a truce with the devil, but to go to God and watch God defeat the devil? Hey, was there a time in your Christian life when you prayed big prayers? I think that it's true today. I think the eyes of the Lord right now are running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. We're not interested in compromising. We're not interested in cutting a treaty with the world, making a treaty with the devil. You know what? We're interested in taking the gospel and attacking the gates of hell with it. And we used to have that spirit about us. That's back in the days when we prayed big prayers because we really believed we had a big God. Now I want you to think about this, young people, because this is for children. I think God likes to hear children pray great big prayers. I'm remembered and reminded of a young lady, a little white girl, blonde white girl. I could close my eyes and see her. And a bus captain introduced me to her one Sunday morning up when we used to run the routes in Chicago. And you know what? Introduced me to this little girl and introduced me to her mama and introduced me to her daddy. And the bus captain said, "I want them to tell you the story of why they're here today and what happened to them." And that daddy of this little blonde haired girl, just a little 9-10 year old girl, he looked over at me with tears in his eyes and he said, "My daughter's been coming to this church for weeks and weeks and weeks, and she began to ask us to come and get burdened about our soul. But you know what? Like most parents that are unsaved, I just kept blowing her off and say, 'Church is fine with for you and all of that.' But you know what, Mom and Dad, we work hard all week and we're not really interested, and we've got other things going, and all of the excuses that they gave. But he said, you know what changed my mind and changed my heart? You know why I'm here this morning? He said, Thursday night, I went over to the door of her room, and I thought she was sound asleep, but she was on her knees by her bed, and I listened to the crack of the door through the door as she begged God and prayed that God would save me and save my wife. I snuck back to that same door on Friday night, and I listened to that little girl kneel by her bed and call out. You know what she was doing? She was calling unto him, and she was asking him for great and mighty things. You know what? She came to him with some big prayers. I can't change the hearts of my parents. I can't change the heart of my dad. I can't change the heart of my mom. I want to sit like a normal family. I want to sit in church with my parents. I want to have a Christian family. And you know what? She just got a hold. He said, Saturday night, I went to that same door, and I listened. There were tears running down my face. I told my wife, went back to her room, and said, we're setting the alarm clock, and we're getting up in the morning, and we're going with our little girl to church. You know what happened? A little girl believed that she had a great big God. I think children ought to be listening. You know what? If you've been coming to this church for weeks and months, and some of you for even years, you say, preacher, it's in my heart. I'd love to see my mom say, I'd love to see my dad say, do you want it bad enough to pray great big prayers for them? Great big prayers for them. Listen to me, I'm willing to pray for you, and I'm glad that when you come to me and share your burden for your parents. But when was the last time you came to him? I love it when teenagers pray great big prayers, great big prayers. Years ago, we got ready and took our very first trip to Mexico. First missions trip we ever went on to Mexico. I read a prayer letter back there in Missionary Hall from Brother Carlos Demeris. And he said in the letter, man, we'd love to have groups come down. We'll take you down into Mexico. I'm the youth pastor here. I've only been here a couple years. I grab that letter. I run in to see Dad. I can't imagine. Listen, if I only knew how much money that letter was going to cost the Blessed Old Baptist Church, you know. But I took that letter and I said, Dad, I just think our teens are there. I think I don't want to take the junior hires. And nothing against junior hires, but I didn't really want to take junior hires. I said, I'll just take high school kids, and I'm trying to sell Dad. I mean, Dad was in the grandpa phase of life. That's where I'm at now. It's a lot harder to talk me into something than it was when I was in my 30s, all right? And I'm like, hey, he said, well, how will we get here? Well, we got two vans, and I think one of them's only got 450,000 miles. The other one has 650,000 miles. But I think they'll make it all the way down there. And you know, I mean, this is it. This is the plan. And we got on that bus, and we're driving down there. We go to El Paso, and we meet Brother Carlos Demers, and we get on a couple buses that bearing precious seed on, and we drive down into Mexico, and Brother Demers is leading us in prayer and conducting prayer meetings on the bus. And Paul Chapman, just a knucklehead. I mean, you guys look at him now and, ooh, you know, and he's a pastor and all this stuff. He's just a knucklehead. But I'm going to tell you something. Paul loved God, and God had gotten a hold of Paul's life, and he leans over to me, and he said, hey, Brother Jerry. I said, what? He said, you picked a number? I said, a number for what? A number that you're praying for souls to be saved. I said, no, because I hadn't. Listen, don't lie to teenagers. They're going to figure it out anyway, okay? Just be honest. I said, no, I'm not. I haven't picked a number. I haven't prayed a number. He's like, okay. I said, why? He said, because I have. This kid's a junior in high school. Because I have. I said, okay, let's hear it. He said, we're going to see 500 people saved. Now, I didn't just laugh like I laughed, but in the inside I went, really? He said, I've been praying about it. 500. I'm thinking, Lord, please let him down gently, Lord. You know, 500 people saved. You know what? We spent the next 5 or 6 days driving from little Mexican village to little Mexican village to little Mexican village. I mean, we'd hit sometimes 2 or 3 a day. And you know what? We'd go up in those villages and we'd pass out flyers. And we'd say at a certain time down by the bus, we're going to show a Christian movie and then we're going to have a service. And we watched entire villages that had never had a missionary go to them. come down and they'd stand off about 150 yards and they'd stop. I remember one village we went to and the people, about an hour before it was supposed to start just slowly making their way down. And it wasn't like Americans. You know, we would have left out the door and walked all the way down there. They walk out their door and then they just stand there for a while. And then they wander about 20 or 30 feet and then they stand there and watch you for a while. Then they wander another couple dozen yards and they stand there and watch you for a while. But I mean the whole village. I'm talking about a whole village. Now these aren't huge giant villages, but I'm talking about 300-400 people would come down. To some of the villages, just 100-150 people would come down. And you know what? We were in this one village and they got about halfway down to us. And all of a sudden the priest, because even in these little villages they had one building and it was controlled by the Catholics and they had a Catholic church in all of these little villages, and one of the men saw that was happening and he went over and he got their church bell and he began to ring the church bell, and as soon as he did that people would stop and they were afraid to go down any farther. Then he picked up this statue of Mary and he started walking through the villages chanting something. The people were terrified, they wouldn't come on down. And I told Brother Demers, what's happening? And he told me what was happening. I said, what do we do? He said, brother, we pray. We pray. And I said, I better go find the teenagers. We need to have a prayer meeting. I'm looking all over for our teenagers. I'm looking all over. I can't find them anywhere. That's not good. When you're a youth pastor and you've got a group of teenagers and you're in a foreign country and you can't find them, that's not good. And I'm like, where did they go? I'm asking Cheryl, where did they go? I don't know. And I'm looking everywhere, and I'm thinking, where did they go? And I walked by the bus, and I saw the door was open. I opened the door and stepped up into the stairwell. And I listened. I listened to seven teenagers. That's all we took that year, seven teenagers on their knees. And I heard one of the most amazing prayer meetings. I just sat down on the step and just listened to them kids pray. You know what they were praying? A great big prayer. A great big prayer. I listened to them for a while. I got on my knees and I joined them, but I never interrupted them. They didn't know I was there. I finally slid out. I looked at Brother Demers and he said, what do you think? I said, I think we're going to be okay. He rang the bell, marched around. I guess finally got tired, got hot, gave up. About 15 minutes before the service, here they all come all the way down. They showed a Christian movie. Preacher, a little Mexican fireball preacher got up, and I mean, he stood up on a wooden platform, and man, he just preached. In that small village that I'm talking about, that particular one, there was probably about 100, 125 people gathered around, almost everybody in that village. And I watched them one at a time get up and go up and take the hand of that missionary and get on their knees. And him go through the scripture. I saw his wife, his children, Brother Demers, everybody there that could speak Spanish were on their knees. And everybody that couldn't speak Spanish were on our knees too. What were we doing? We were praying great big prayers. The end of that week, I'm trying to get you to see something. At the end of that week, we come home. We're going home. We're heading back to El Paso. Brother Demers is up there and he's writing down some things. And he said, hey, I just want to let you know, folks, I know we burnt the candle at both ends in the middle, and I know we gave everything. And by the way, folks, we slept on the floor of churches. We slept out on the cement pads and patios. You know what? We were there to minister. And he said, that piece of paper, he said, I want to just let you know that 700, I don't remember the exact number now, 700 and some odd people received Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I look over at that little smart aleck Paul Chapman. He's looking at me. You know what? I think God's just searching. He's scouring the earth looking for a teenager that's willing to pray a great big prayer. Matter of fact, I think he's looking for a teenager that prays it all. That prays it all. I'm not talking about at the table when Dad asks you to. I'm not talking about in church or in school when you're called upon. I mean that has a prayer life. We're going to stand before God one of these days. And listen, all this wringing of our hands and, boy, we're losing it and the nation's going to the devil and miracles don't happen anymore. It's not because God has diminished it all. I think he's just, you know what he's doing? His eyes are running to and fro through the whole earth. You know what he found? He found on a bus. His eyes found on a bus driving into Chicago one teenage boy that said, I think 500 people can get saved. Man, that's good. It's good. God invites you. I want to give you this. And I don't want to give a whole lot of examples because I really feel like that at some point this message has to go into your heart, and God is going to show you what you need to pray about. There is a great big prayer that God wants you to pray. You say, preacher, what is it? That's between you and God. I don't have the faintest idea. I can only answer that for me. You can only answer that for you. But I'm telling you that God is listening and wants to hear out of your heart and out of your lips a great big prayer. And he's well able to do it. Say, preacher, has God answered great big prayers in your life? I remember when I got consumed because I had never won a soul to Christ. And I prayed this great big prayer. I remember asking God, said, and this is what I prayed at that time. I said, God, sometime in my life, this is the biggest vision I had. I was backwards. I had a hard time talking to people about the gospel and talking about the Lord and giving my testimony. And I was kind of an introvert in that area of my life. But I remember getting on my knees and saying, God, if one time in my life, one time before I die, I could just win one soul, I could die happy. And I just would not quit praying that prayer. But you know what? I could take you to the spot where God answered that prayer. And God heard a great big prayer that may not have been big to you, but it was big to me. And he allowed me to see my first person saved. I believe that lady right over there, we're celebrating 34 years of marriage next month. And I think the reason that we have what we have is because of her great big prayers and my great big prayers. And young people, you can have it too if you'd actually start praying about it and put it in God's hands. Amen. Instead of sneaking around and chasing around, breaking every Bible principle in the process. You can have it too. I think she's my helpmeet because of a great big prayer. I've prayed great big prayers on my knees behind a pulpit hours before I stood before a pulpit, and I've watched God answer those great big prayers. Some of these stories are sacred. Some of these stories I don't share. But I'm going to tell you something. I've stood in a pulpit and preached and watched with my own eyes God show up and answer great big prayers. I talk to you about revivals. I could talk to you about youth conference. I talk to you about unusual things. I was sharing a story with Jonathan the other day because the technology when it comes to this weather now is fascinating. You know, that I can pull up my phone, pull up a radar, see a little blue dot where I am, and watch this big front coming into us and say, hey, we need to pack up, you know. Folks, listen to me. I remember a time I was preaching out in Pennsylvania. And by the way, I'm going to be back there in July. Be the last time I go to that camp and preach. But blessed memories there. And we preached on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And God was stirring hearts. And we were beginning to see God do some things. Thursday night, the last night of the meeting. And, you know, it was charged. You could feel it. God had showed up. And there were young people that struggled. I could tell that they were fighting it. But I knew that God was going to give us a victory. And I couldn't wait till the evening service. I knew the Lord was going to come through for us. And all of a sudden, right before the evening service started, one of the men came to me with his phone and he opened it up and he said, look, I want to show you what's coming. And there's that little blue dot where we're at the camp. And here's this big, giant, nasty, dark red sail, orange all around it, bearing right down on us. He said, it's about 30 minutes away. We're going to try to start the service. But at some point, there's a cafeteria over here. It's got a basement. We may have to come in, interrupt the service, pull all the kids down to the basement. And I said, whatever you have to do to keep the kids safe, that you just do it, and we'll just put it in the hands of the Lord. And so they started singing, and they abbreviated the song service and some of the things they were going to do. And they pointed at me and said, come on up and preach. And I looked back at those guys, and one of the guys is going like this, and he's got the device in his hand. And I got up, and I preached. And for 45 minutes I preached, and then the invitation came, and I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you've never been in one of these meetings, it's not charismatic, it's not Pentecostal. Let me tell you, it's Baptist, amen. And the same Holy Spirit that's in the Bible needs to be at Blessed Old Baptist Church this morning, and could be if we'd start praying some great big prayers. And I preached, and I kept looking out the pavilion as I preached. And then I never seen a drop of rain, and I never heard the rumble of thunder, and I never saw a flash of lightning. And I thought, how in the world did that big giant front bearing down at us 30 miles away? When we got done preaching, the altars were full. And I mean, God did some things that I'm talking about. When I show up in some locations, I have kids that were in that meeting that still come up to me and say, you remember that Thursday night? And this is what God did in my life. And when I got done dealing with people, when we concluded the service, these four guys come rushing up the side aisle. I didn't no more step out there, and the guy's got his device, and he's like, you got to watch this. You got to watch this. I said, what? And he said, I'm going to play this thing in reverse. And he played it in reverse, and backtrack the last 2 hours, and that big giant front came right up, and here's where we're at. And that big giant front came right up and split in two pieces and went around that cap and came back. And you know that God does stuff like that, but now we got the technology to see it. And I looked at that thing and I went, and I'm getting goosebumps right now. And I was getting goosebumps. I said, play it again. He said, play it again. I don't know how to do it. Play it. So and I watched it again. Do it again. And I watched the thing about 10 times in a row. And by about the fifth time, tears are up. I thought, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. I found out later on why that thing did that. It wasn't because Jerry Ross was behind the pulpit. There was five of those guys looking at that. When I looked back, there was only one that gave the thumbs up. The other four guys had gone to the basement to pray. And they got on their knees and they prayed. Now, I don't know if that's a prayer of faith because they were in the basement. I guess they figured it, whatever God decided to do, at least they'd be safe. I told them that later on. If you'd have been had a prayer of faith, you'd have been out in the parking lot, brother. But whatever they did, there was enough faith for it to work. I got to close it down. I could preach for 3 hours on this subject. If I was to open up even some of the private things of my life, let me tell you something. I believe that I serve a great big God. And I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want him to pass by Jerry Ross, his eyes pass by Jerry Ross month after month and never hear a big prayer. Matter of fact, I think God, I'd like God to just start kind of looking at me and laughing, and there he goes again. What? There he goes again. You know, I'm not asking God to do one jumping jack. Come on, what is it? No, you spend enough time whining about it. Have you spent any time praying about it? Come on. I mean, I know that you don't want it to go away because, my goodness sakes, you define yourself over your pity party. That's become your M.O. That you're the poor person that God just never is good to. Come on now. Listen, folks, this service this morning ought to be supercharged, and it's not. It hasn't been for several months. I'm preaching to a prayerless congregation, or mostly a prayerless congregation. I'm telling you, I know it. I'm not saying everybody. I'm saying most of you. Prayers go, amens go, smiles go, excitement goes, pouting comes in. I'm telling you, God's not done after 45 years with Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I'm still praying great big prayers. I'm not going to quit praying great big prayers. But I also understand that Jesus could do no great miracles in Nazareth because of the people's unbelief. Don't you waste my life praying big prayers that God can't answer because a bunch of people want to set it like a bump on the log. You haven't touched a Bible in weeks. You haven't prayed in months. You come to church, you're going through the motions. Why don't you get serious with the Lord? Why don't you pray something great big? Appreciate Brother Bill Neal. He asked me, and he has health problems. And he come over here, and he's volunteered to help on some of this visitation. But he said, preacher, you know, with my open heart surgery and everything that I've had, I reached in my pocket. I didn't reach in my pocket. I said, next time I see you, I'll get you a key to the church. He lives just right over here. I said, I'll get you a key to the church. You need to walk every day, don't you? He said, I need to walk. Doctor tells me to walk. I said, here's the key to the front door of the church. Would you walk down here, unlock that door, sit in front of that map, in a chair, and put your hands on every single one of those things and pray big prayers. Come on now. Preacher, you're mad at us. I'm not mad at you. I just know what's at stake. Okay, I know what's at stake. I'm sick and tired of watching the devil win in the life of a bunch of carnal Christians. And you know what? You don't have to be a carnal Christian. You could start today getting on your knees and really confessing and really getting right and getting your heart clean and getting your heart pure and get on the Lord's side and get on the side of this church and the side of your pastor. Because, by the way, this church and your pastor is on the Lord's side. And start seeing some great, big things happen. All right? So what has God talked to you about? You know what's coming in September? Since I announced it in January, are you closer to it or farther from it? You realize what could happen this September? You realize you're going to learn, and by the way, some of you already learned a lot about yourself this year, and it ought to convict you. You've learned a lot about yourself, and it ought to convict you. Okay? I think that I have followed to the letter the leading of the Holy Spirit of God in putting forth a program that this church should have enthusiastically embraced. And I can't get some of you to even put your name on a line to pray. Do nothing but pray. Say, what are you going to do, preacher? I'm going to go out swinging. I'm not one of these people that if everybody quits around me, I quit. Never been that person. It's not in my DNA. But I've also been in situations where everybody around me was with it. And those are the times I could tell you about the miracles. Those are the times when you see the great big prayers answered. What about it? I mean, God's got a track record. He said, I'm the one who made all of this. I'm the creator. I'm the one that holds it all together. I'm the one that is the master mind behind it. Now call unto me, and I might. I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, I pray, dear God, for America. I come to you every single week praying for America. I pray for Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Lord. And God, my heart is just moved. Lord, it's my spirit's pressed. And Lord, I'm 56. I'm not old, but I'm not young. And God, I'm trying to give everything I know to give. God, I pray that you'd bring a prayer revival to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. A prayer revival to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, I pray that the bitterness, the carnality, the sinfulness, the wickedness of spirit that's descended upon the hearts of some, Lord, I pray that you'd change it and turn it. And Lord, that's not most people. God, our real sin is apathy. It's just apathy. You know, we don't get mad. We don't get glad. We don't get up. We don't get down. We just exist. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'd move, that your spirit would move. You are a great big God. And Lord, you want to hear great big prayers. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be a part of this glorious plan that you have for this church in this area, to see miracles. We pray these things in Jesus' name.